Good morning this morning. All right. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited. Now I want to tell you, I'm excited because I get to preach. No, I'm excited because I get to be here with you. I love this place, and it's not this building. This is my family. You know, you guys mean so much to me, and I just enjoy the time I have, and I get to share with you. And this morning's message is a challenge for me, so if you're kind of checking church out, this might be a little bit different than you expect. I want to tell you, this is not really where I go, but several months ago I was at a conference, and they laid something out for me that really caused a question. Now, many of you know I'm a Disney fanatic, right? You guys, some of you have been here for a while. You know I am over-the-top Disney crazy, all right? And one of the movies and the ride I enjoy at Disneyland is called Pinocchio. Anybody seen the movie Pinocchio? Anybody ever see the movie? You guys haven't seen Pinocchio? I tell you. I feel sorry. You guys are deprived. I was going to say depraved, but, you know, you're deprived. You know, and in that movie, there's a little cricket called... Oh, at least you guys know that part. There's a little cricket called Jiminy Cricket, and his saying is, you follow your... Let your conscience be your guide. You know, and so I kind of grew up with this idea, and, you know, as we make decisions, we filter our decisions, experiences in our life, and the movie was saying, let your conscience be your guide, but I don't know about you, but sometimes my conscience is not good. Anybody in that boat? You know, get me behind the steering wheel of a car, and my conscience can go sideways, you know? But while I'm at this meeting, something I realized as I was at the meeting and then reading the news, today, we are filtering our decisions through our feelings. That today, we make decisions as we make our conversations. We'll hear a phrase like this, let your heart guide you. Do you hear that? Let your heart guide you. Matter of fact, I went on the internet and typed up that phrase, and I found this on Oprah Winfrey's page. Let me read what it says, because this is where I think I want us to think about this morning. And I want you to look at this from the perspective of, do you see this in the world? This individual said, why being in your heart is better than in your head. Did you get the title? Why being in your heart is better than being in your head. Now listen to what they say here. He goes like this. In the same way, when faced with decisions or conflict, your mind may come up with numerous different and quite logical reasons why you should act as it advises. But if you listen to and trust your heart, illogical or irrational it may seem, it is usually right and you are happier as a result. What do you guys think? How many of us, I'm going to say us, I'm going to include me in this, have ever made a decision, you know, I felt it was right. You know, I thought that was the best thing. My heart was telling me to do this. I knew this girl. How about a broken, anybody have a relationship that way? You know, the heart kind of led you that way. How many of us have ever bought something from the heart and then you look at it and say, why did I buy that? Anybody ever do something like that? You know, you pursue it. You got, you know, it's going to make me happy. It's going to make me feel good. I'll go buy this. I'll go get this. And then I'll be happy the rest of my life. Anybody ever had thoughts like that? You know, and I read that and I'm just going, wait a minute. But see, I think this is where our world is at today. I think this is where our world is functioning today. Here's what else he goes on. There is great brilliance and beauty inherent within the mind. Okay, your head. Because it's capable of understanding the most intricate scientific and mathematical theories, you can make complicated corporate decisions. Yet the same mind can get caught up in trivia and nonsense, becoming upset and even unglued. Now, what is upset and unglued? Is that a feeling? I'm just looking at this. He's saying, follow your feelings, but yet your feelings get upset and unglued when you're... And he goes on, see me, harmless remarks. It ruins your life, pushing and pulling you in all directions. He says, follow your feelings, but your feelings ruin your life. Anybody on board with that one? I mean, I'm reading this going, you got to be kidding me. And yet as I read the newspaper and I read the stories today and I look at life today, that's what people are doing. That's the decisions people are making. And this is what the scripture says. Look right here. If you can, let me encourage you to get your outline out. And that's that very top scripture there says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Anybody? I think God's word has great wisdom. You know, I think there's some truth in this. That our heart can be deceitful. Any regrets? Any remorse? Any wish for do-overs? Any wish for a second chance? You know, well, I was following my heart. I was doing what I felt was right. And I look at our world and I see this. But I want to tell you, if you follow your feet, now I want to make sure you understand this. We filter our decisions through seven, our conscience, our feelings, and we should. I'm going to get into more of this as I go through the message this morning. But if we rely on our feelings to guide us as the foundation for our decisions, and we rely on them, I'm going to tell you, we will end up with broken lives. We'll end up in toxic relationships. We'll end up self-focused on me. They make a poor guide. I found this definition. I put it in your bulletin because I thought it was so intriguing. And I wanted that definition of what's called post-truth. You know, we live in a post-modern world. They always use these post words. And they have post-truth here. So I gave you the definition. Look at what this is. Relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to the emotional and personal beliefs. Yeah, I mean, let me make it simple. That's kind of confusing to me. Let me make it real simple. Feeling facts is what matters. Do you see that in our world today? Do you see decisions people are making? The facts don't matter. Don't tell me the facts. Don't give me the facts. I feel. Like I said, this is a different kind of message I preached in a while, isn't it? You know? Because I see this world and I see a hurting world and I see people making decisions on feelings and one of them is burned in my mind and it just sticks with me. Years and years ago, I counseled a young girl and I'm sitting in her living room. She called me up and her mom's sitting there and we're sitting in the living room. Stepdad's over there and we're having this conversation. And she's on the verge of an emotional breakdown. And she's telling me about the problem and how she's on this verge of an emotional breakdown. And then she goes, I had the same thing last year. And she goes, about the same time last year, I went through this and I was able to work through it, but I'm not able to work time. And we're talking. And then finally, in the midst of that conversation, she says, I had an abortion. And then I realized, you know what? Guess what was coming up? Mother's Day. Mother's Day was around last year, about the same time, and I began to carry that conversation on with her. That last year, about the same time, around Mother's Day, you had this. This year, about the same time, around Mother's Day, you had this. And she made this emotional decision. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My heart goes out to young ladies that's made that decision. I don't point fingers. Don't criticize. Don't attack. I do not envy anybody that had to make that kind of a decision. That made, in my understanding, a decision that's probably not the best because this young girl illustrated it. You know, they'll take care of it. We'll take care of the problem, but emotionally, you're going to be devastated. This was years later. Now, I want to assure you, let me tell you something. This young lady now has several kids and is doing very well in life. But it was a turning point. See, we let our feelings guide us. We're in this post-truth. Truth doesn't matter. Facts are not important. Here's where our world is, and this is what I see in our world. And you got to tell me if you see this too. If you do, say amen, all right? What I see in our world today is, if I disagree with you, I'm a hater. You know, I grew up where I could accept you, say you're okay, and I appreciate you and I accept you, but I disagree. But once I say I disagree today, I have become a hater. I have become intolerant, become judgmental. See, our world has taken this, let your conscience be the guide. No, no, no. Let your feelings be your guide. And they've propped this up. And I want to make sure this is not just in the world. I see this in the church. Anybody on board with that one? You know, churches, I just want to make you feel good. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you come to this church to feel good, you're in trouble. Because I got for you. You're a rotten sinner, okay? And so am I. None of us are perfect. I'm going to tell you, I am so glad I got a gracious, merciful God. All right? I'm messed up. I'm so messed up, I'm not going to say it. I'm messed up. All right? But if I let my feelings lead me, I'm going to tell you, Gary can be a mean, rotten son of a gun. I'm serious. You know? If I let my feelings guide me, put me behind the steering wheel of a car, I often think, I'm going to tell you something. I sit in an intersection, I sit somewhere, and I got some guy jacking me around. I go, I wish I had an old car I could run him over with. Put a dent in his car, because I wouldn't care about my car. Anybody have feelings that get the best of you? Irrational, illogical feelings, and we put facts aside. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter what the truth is. This is what I feel. Is this where our world is today? And, you know, I sat in that conference, and it really, and it stuck me as I look around our world, and everybody's making decisions. It doesn't matter what the facts are. It's what I feel. It's how I feel. And I see this. And yet, again, look at the scripture. God's word is amazing. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Would you agree with that? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who walks wisely will be delivered. Follow your feelings, you end up being a fool. Follow your head, your logic, your relationship with God, and I'm going to get there, and you'll make wise decisions. What do you guys think? See, I see our world, and I'm tired of reading the newspaper. This is my frustration Sunday, okay, guys? I'm tired of reading the newspaper, you know, on the internet. I get so aggravated. College campus this situation over here, this political situation over here. You know, you got a guy who's a political leader in I forget what state says he's glad that the congressman got shot. Literally, I don't know if you guys read that in the paper, but this congressman says, I'm glad he got shot. I wish he would have died. I didn't use the words he used because he used some explicit words in there that would have those little characters. Because it's all this feeling. And see, I want to challenge you this morning. Feelings matter. I'm going to talk as I go through this. Feelings matter. Don't toss out your feelings. You know, don't toss out your conscience. But there's got to be a foundation for decisions. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't even think it's in your head. Okay? As I go through the mail, I'm going to tell you it's in your head. That's why I don't think it's your conscience. All right? But I see this world and, you know, we go by our feelings, and I don't know about you, but feelings can be deceitful. Feelings can be crafty. Feelings can be untrustworthy and unpredictable. Anybody? Yeah. And we have all these feelings, and they're real. So if you look at your outline, I wrote it this way. I want to make sure you understand, God gave you feelings. God gave you feelings. When God created you and God formed you, the scripture says you are made in whose image? God's image. Look at what it says. So God created man in his own image. Why don't you circle those words? We're in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. We're created in the image of God. Now that image includes emotions. You read God's scriptures here. And did God have sadness? Did God have love? Did God rejoice? Did God had all these emotions. Did God hate? I'm going to tell you, God hates sin. It says so. Is God a jealous God? He's jealous for us. Not jealous in the negative sense, but jealous in the positive sense. Feelings are real. Don't deny those feelings. Feelings are real. You know, I did a message several years ago on homosexuality. You go back. I'm not going to get into that subject this morning, but it kind of grows out of this. You know, we have this. I was at a conference, and this is a conference that had LGBTQ. Well, I know what LGBT stood for. I had no idea what a Q was. I'm at an event where there's literally tens of thousands of people. And it's like, I guess I'm ignorant. You know, so I go and I sit in at a conference. Q stands for questioning. I'm not sure what I am. I'm not sure. I'm fluid. I may be this in the morning and this in the afternoon. What they're saying is this. I have these feelings. And I feel this. And that feelings are that way. And so don't deny those feelings. I mean, they're real. Now, do I act on my feelings? Anger can be good. If I get angry at injustice in society and I do something, that can be good. If I get angry at racism in our world, in our society, I can do good things with it. But if I get angry behind the steering wheel of my car, I'll run you off the road. You know? I got to watch. Anger can be good or bad. Same thing with joy. This guy, this congressman's rejoicing that somebody got shot. But I can rejoice when I come here this morning and all you guys are here. We're going to have a good time together in God and sing his praise. And I can find joy. See, we have these feelings and they're not necessarily good or bad. It's what we do with them. I want to show you, feelings are real, but they can be deceiving. And you start stirring your feelings up. Anybody ever had their feelings stirred up? You read the newspaper, you know, you get stirred up. Anybody get angry? You know, about got a neighbor, an ex-friend. How about an ex-friend? But I want to make sure I lay this foundation. Feelings are true. Feelings are real. But the challenge is, that's not where we should make our decisions on. Because feelings are deceitful. Jesus tells a beautiful picture. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. There's about three chapters in the book of Matthew where he's sitting on the side of a hill and he was teaching the people. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter. I think it starts in chapter 5, runs through like 7. You know, and at the end of that chapter, at the end of that teaching, Jesus had this great saying, and I think it illustrates what I want to say this morning. Look at it says this. You got the outline. You can follow along. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. I want to make sure you get a picture here. He's saying, everyone who hears these words, everyone who hears these teachings, hears these thoughts, everyone who hears these, the rain comes down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because its foundation on the rock. Anybody make a decision? When life starts attacking, when life starts falling apart, when life starts having issues, your life starts falling apart? Because that's what happened next. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You ever have a friend's life fall in a great crash? Has your life fell in a great crash? Because it was on that wrong foundation. See, I believe I want to use emotions to make decisions. I'm not going to set all my emotions aside. I want to have heartfelt decisions. Anybody? But I got to have a foundation. I got to have some facts. I got to have some truth. Anybody ever go stand on the beach and watch the waves wash in against your feet? Anybody ever do that? Am I the only one that's done that? You know, you sit on the beach and the waves come in and the waves go out and the wave comes in and the waves go out. What happens around your feet? The sand starts shifting. The sand starts disappearing. And I think that happens in many of our lives. We build our lives on some of these decisions. And I think this is what Jesus is saying here. You know, I built my life on this sand and the waves are coming. The issues in life, the struggles, the battles in life, the heartaches in life. You know, those decisions I have to make are coming. And this ground I'm standing on is beginning to become unstable. Because, see, some of those decisions were made on feelings. I felt it was the right decision. I thought I was doing right. Everybody else was doing it. It sounded good. And we base those decisions. And so I want to ask this morning, what are you building on your foundation? Because I got, you know, like I said, you want good news? You're not going to find it here. I got good news, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're in one of three places in life right now. All right? Everyone sitting here, you're in one of three places. Either you're in trouble, you're getting out of trouble, or here's the bad news, you're getting ready to go into trouble. Take your pick. You're in one of those three places. I guarantee you, you know, you're either in trouble, or getting ready to go into trouble. Those sins are washing on you. And so I want to ask you, what are you setting your life on that when that happens, you have a foundation? That when something rocks your life, when something hits you upside the head so hard, you don't know which way to turn. You don't even know which way's up. I remember talking to Bill one time. He was talking about flying out of Reno, flying this airplane. I didn't know this, but he flies this airplane out of Reno, and he flew crop dusters. Well, they don't have all the gadgets that a regular plane has. And so he filled the crop dusting tank up with water. Because in the midst of the clouds, in the midst of all that's around you, you don't know if you're upside down or whatever, is what he told me. And so he would look at that tank so he would know, where is this plane in relation to the world? What are you using to balance your life? Because sometimes life's going to be upside down. Sometimes things are not going to go the way you planned. Sometimes things aren't going to go the way you envisioned. And if you're built on this sand that this, I felt it was right, and we felt we were doing the good thing, and yet my life now is toxic, broken. I'm hurting. So I want to challenge you, you know, don't build your life on your feelings and feelings. I skipped a whole lot, didn't I? All right, let's go back. Put that one part, don't lead by your feelings. I got so excited. Like I said, man, this message has been cooking in me for about 4 months. And it's just been something that I've been had. Don't let your feelings. Look, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death. It looked good. It seemed right. It felt good. And yet, in the end, I just want to make sure, you don't let those be your guide. So here's what I was getting to this point. Here's it is. Engage, exchange an open mind for a canon mind. I don't say have a closed mind. I'm not talking about having a closed mind. But I'm talking about having a canon mind. Now, I'm not talking about the big gun, okay? I'm not talking about a cannon, you know, 6-pound shell coming at you. Canon as God's word. Canon as the Bible. You know? And don't have a closed mind, all right? I don't want to have a closed mind. You know? I want to be open. I want to have those conversations. I want to hear those stories. I want to know that. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to agree with me for me to love you. Do you want to know that? I'll tell you that right now. I love people that don't agree with me. There's people that can't do that. I look at our world now, and like I say, if you disagree, you're a hater. But we need to be open-minded. But they're going to call us intolerant. People will call me intolerant. I am old-fashioned. I'm not old. But I'm old-fashioned. All right? I mean, I believe in some traditional values. You know, I believe sex is for marriage. I believe the marriage is between a man and a woman. I have old-fashioned values. I believe you're a man of your word and you're a woman of your word. That's integrity. I believe in old-fashioned values. Yeah. But they'll call me intolerant. I'm not intolerant. Yeah. I'm not a hater. I want to love people. You know, I want to care. I'm open. I'm not closed-minded. I can tell you stories that I've been involved in and situations I've been involved in. And I love people. I'm going to be honest with you. There's some people that are hard to love that I have to love. You notice I said have to love? You know, that are hard. You know? They push your button. They say things. They do things. You know? But nowadays, if I just disagree, it's like, whoa, I can't hang around with you no more. You disagree. Whatever happened to can we disagree agreeably? Anybody ever hear that statement? That doesn't exist anymore. But we need to have this canon mind. We need to have this foundation. We need to build our lives upon something that's stable, that's not going to change. I remember in junior college, I had a class on ethics, and we read all these ethical theories. And one of the theories, and I used to think this was kind of where our world was, but it's not anymore, was what is good? Good is what's good for the majority of people. And that's kind of what America's built on. Majority of people vote this way. This is what's good then, because this is what we've decided. We have defined what the majority agree on. Well, that's not always true. That's not always true. You know, well, then we'll let my conscience be the guide. See, we have this relative truth today. What's good for me may not be good for you. You're just making a slippery slope. You're standing on sand, and that water is washing that out from underneath you. I go to the beach, and I've been in the beach, and I get out there, and I stand on a rock out in the middle of the beach. I walk across the sand, and I'll get on a rock. Done that? And you watch the ocean sweep up against you, you know, and watch the water down there, and you're watching it all around you, but you're standing on a rock. That's what I see in our lives, and that's what I want us to see. You got to stand on a rock. And I think Jesus said it so well when he says it's God's word. See, the truth is God's word. We build our life on truth. Here's what I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. All right? Hear me. Guarantee. You will never, ever be sorry if you build your life on the truths of God's word. You hear me? I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what bashes you upside the head. I don't care what goes on. You will never regret a life that is built on the truths of God. You know, storms are going to come. Battles are going to happen. Heartaches. You're going to hurt. But when you have a God who is gracious and merciful, who will pick you up and carry you. I love the picture of God being the shepherd. I love that 23rd Psalms. I've preached that to you before, you know, where he's got that staff and he's walking along and he's got this rod, that rod who will fight off the enemies, that 2-foot stick that he can throw at the foxes and the coyotes and the predators in your life. And that staff that he can turn over and he can reach down the cliffs of the rocks and pick you up, carry you, and anoint you and minister to you. I love that picture. Isn't it great to have a foundation on God? See, and so we need this foundation on him. And so I chose this scripture here. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This word, God's word, is that foundation. See, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't live up to it all the time. I'm a sinner. I get angry not at injustice. I get angry at people. I even want to get even with people. There's people that I really don't want to love. But God is a gracious, merciful God. And he helps me do it. Here's what I want to end with as I kind of bring it to a point. Because here's what I want you to know. The truth is not just God's word. And I'm going to tell you, you need to read God's word. I'll give you a challenge, okay? Here's a challenge. Read the book of Proverbs. and I'll make it easy for you, not confusing. Whatever the date is, turn to that proverb. If it's got 31 days in the month, you'll read the whole book. So basically today, go home sometime today, open the book of Proverbs, almost right in the middle of your Bible, almost in the middle, read 25. Tomorrow, read 26. You'll get a break this year because there's only 30 days. Isn't there only 30 days in this month? Somebody help me out. How many days in 30 days? All right, I didn't look at the calendar, but I think there's 31. All right, so you get a break this month, but you'll finish it all next month. Read Proverbs. There's some great wisdom there. I mean, I truly enjoy that book. Just one day, just read that one, 8, 10, 12, 15 verses, 20 verses, whatever it is. Just read whatever date is, just read that one. If you skip a date, don't worry about it. Just read the date. I missed last one. That's okay. You'll read it next month. Because that date comes around what? There'll be a 25th next month. Did you know that? So if you miss one, don't worry about it. Just read it every, that's a good thing to read every day. But read God's Word. Join a small group. Get into God's Word. And build that foundation. And here's the hard one. And I'm not going to say you guys. I'm going to say we. Memorize it. That's hard. And I'll give you that. But I want to make sure you understand the truth. The truth isn't just God's Word. It's what the Word is built on. It's built on a person. It's built on Jesus Christ. Here's a verse to memorize. John 14:6. Good verse to memorize. It says this. It's there in your outline. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is that truth. What I'm saying is build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. And what's so fun is you read the scripture, there's some really good consistency there. Because you can read, one day Peter was talking with Jesus, and Jesus said, who do they think I am? Who's everybody say I am? And Peter was fine. Everybody said this, Elijah or this guy or that person. And Peter goes, no, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you got that right, Peter. God revealed that to you. And upon this rock, Jesus, I will build my church. You want to build your life on Jesus? That's what I encourage you this morning. I get so frustrated. I hate reading the news. And I read much news. I don't read the paper. I don't know why I call it paper anymore, because it's always on the internet is where I read mine. I read all news. And I hate it now. It's so frustrating. Because, see, I see people. And here's what I want to tell you. Here's where my heart comes in. They're going to crash and burn. They're going to crash and burn. Because that foundation doesn't stand. Life will have those earth-shattering experiences. I watched a show the other night on the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco. And what's interesting is the earthquake wasn't what caused most of the damage. It was the fire that engulfed the city that caused the damage. And what I'm interesting is, you got an earthquake, you got fire. Most of the time, we don't get one trouble in our life. We get multiple troubles. Anybody have that one? Anybody, you're going through life, and it's like, oh, what next can happen? And then it comes. Anybody? Well, it's finally going to get over, and there it is again. Something else. I'm either in trouble, getting out of trouble, or getting ready to go in. It's just the way life goes. But I want a foundation. So I want to ask you, what's your life built on? I'm going to share next week and kind of, it's only two message series. I just feel and I see a hurting world out there. But I wanted to end with this because I think this is key for me. When Jesus, saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's how I want to see people. I don't want to close mine. I want a canon mind. I don't even want an open mind. I want a mind who sees people as God sees them. They might call me intolerant. They might call me a hater. They may call me old-fashioned. But I'm going to tell you what. When their life crashes and burns, I want to be there to pick them up. I don't care what they've said to me. I don't care what they've done to me. I want to be there to pick, because I feel that's what Jesus would do. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus wants to do. So I want to encourage us this morning. What's your foundation? And if you feel you got a good foundation, maybe you're here this morning and said, my life is built on you. Yeah, I mess up, but my life has a solid foundation. I want to ask you, will you see the world with compassion and not judge them? Not point your finger at them. Oh, this person. Oh, look what that person did. Will you look at people like Jesus did with compassion? Because they're hurting. And if they're not hurting, they soon will be. And if you pick on them, you can't pick them up when they fall. You need to be there. So I want to encourage you, if you're a believer and you've got a solid foundation, and thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that you can have that foundation. But look at a world with compassion. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I get angry. I punch this computer on that button so hard sometimes, I'm going to punch my finger through it because I get so aggravated. But I want to see with compassion. I want to see the people like Jesus sees them. I don't care what their decisions are. I don't care. You may say, well, they're depraved. They're making bad decisions. Yeah, I made a few of those myself. You see them with compassion. Now, if you're not a believer this morning, I want to ask you, what have you built your life on? How's it working for you? Well, I built my life on my conscience. I filter all my decisions through my conscience. Jiminy Cricket sits here for me. No, I make my decisions based on how I feel. If it feels good and it feels right, I'm going to go that way. I'm going to tell you, it won't work. It won't work. Sometimes those are good decisions, but more than likely or not, it ain't going to work. I want to challenge you this morning. If you need to think, well, what's that foundation? What am I building on? The storms in life are coming. Those waves keep coming. They just keep coming. You can stand there and you can watch that sin wash away. What are you building your life on? Is it Jesus Christ? He's the way. He's the truth. He's that solid rock. Will you be a wise builder or a foolish builder? It's yours. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That above all, you are a merciful and gracious God. That I know I've messed up way too many, way too often. Some intentionally and many times unintentionally. But Lord, I want to stand on the rock. You know, as we're praying and our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and maybe you've been kind of standing on some difficult ground right now. And maybe you're standing on that rock, but man, you're getting beat up. And you want me to pray for you. You say, this rock, man, I'm on it. But man, life is just hurting. Maybe you haven't decided to stand on the rock, and maybe you want me to pray for you. You just shoot your hand up. Let me pray for you this morning. Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hand of those who desire to stand on the rock solid. The storms come, Lord, but our faith is in you. Our trust is in you. So I lift these up to you. Encourage their heart, Lord. Strengthen their mind. Let them see the foundation that they stand on is not wavering. That yes, there are hurts, and yes, there are pains, and yes, there are battles. But you are the rock of salvation. You are the Lord of their lives. That they will stand upon the truth of Jesus Christ. Strengthen them, encourage them. Let your Holy Spirit inspire them and fill them with your presence that is undeniable strength. That they do not understand, that they cannot explain the peace of God that comes, but they stand with you. And Lord, I pray for others who are standing on sand this morning, who haven't made a decision to cross that invisible line and come into your presence, that today they will see a need to stand upon the rock of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's pause the end of our service with an invitation. Invitation's real simple. It's time for, I just stand here to pray with you, to share with you, to minister to you. It's your time for me, the opportunity to serve you. If you've never crossed that invisible line, maybe you don't understand what it means to stand on the rock of Jesus. I try to make this plain every year, every day I preach. being a Christian isn't, well, I shook the preacher's hand. Oh, I'm trying to do the best I can. That doesn't make it. You're a Christian when you reach a point in your life where you've done something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. I want to build my life on that rock. You've never prayed that. I ask you to pray it right where you're set. Right now, just, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life. I want a solid foundation. And take control of my life, God. Pray that prayer right now. But come and share that with me. Maybe you want me to pray it with you. Maybe there's other things. Maybe life is just stomping you right now and the waves are just you. And you need to feel that solid rock. Maybe it feels like you're standing on sand. You know you're standing on Jesus, but it feels like you're standing on sand and you want prayer. This is your time. This is your time. So we're just going to stand and we're going to sing and you're going to come as the Spirit leads. So I'm going to ask you to stand and you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand and you sing as the Spirit leads, you come.